one of the first stories that I was involved in on the morning show, oh, it's a long, long time ago, was the story of Kosovo. And when Yugoslavia split up and all the countries went their own way, like Montenegro and Croatia and all that sort of stuff, and Republic of Serbia maintained its big integrity as the big country it was, but it had inside the borders of Serbia ethnic Albanians who wanted their own independence, and they formed the country called Kosovo, and there was a lot of problems going on there, and many people who wanted to escape all the problems came to Ireland, and they were designated to come to various places around the whole country, and some came to Baltinglass, and that was 21 years ago. So this month marks 21 years since Baltinglass welcomed refugees from Kosovo. And Marita Banjarmi is one of those people who came to the town and made it her home. Marita, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you too.
Thank you. And I was thinking back 21 years ago, there was a guy we used to talk to who worked in a bar, I think.
Adam.
Adam, that's right, it was Adam.
Yeah. We were all working in Quince at the time, and he was working at the bar, yeah.
That's right, and he moved off, I think, to Wexford or someplace?
No, he's gone back to Kosovo.
Oh, is he? Already?
Yeah.
Very good. And but you decided to stay, so...
Yeah, I decided among from... my family were 22 of them here, so they all went back, and I've decided to stay. At the time, I was doing a course in Irish Academy, and I said, I'll just finish exams, the war is over, I'll go back, but here I am, 21 years here.
Yeah, so take us back to before you arrived, and what was going on in your country of your birth.
Well, to be honest, as a child, like, I remember, you know, troubles that we had. We always were on the fear. Then in 1991, after they stopped all the schools. So it was a little, you know, war, I can call it maybe, for many, many years. Until the big war came up in 1997, actually, it started. It was tough. But I remember all my life, like, you know, fear, regime. It wasn't just like, you know, it just happened. It's been there for a long time.
Yeah. And that's because people of Kosovo were ethnically different than the people of Serbia, I suppose, and, you know. But how were you all treated back then within that?
It's very hard to describe in a few minutes. We weren't allowed to live like normal, like Serbian people. We were, you know, not given the full rights, you know, that normal people would live on it. The schools, you know, were limited. Everything was limited. You didn't have, you know, chance to live a proper life, jobs. And to be honest, I remember only when I was young, when some people had jobs, then they all left because they had they brought different laws and different rules only for Albanians, just to make it difficult.
Yeah, and I think you had international backing as regards splitting away.
What do you mean?
You know, there was, I think the countries of the world were basically on your side and were in favor of you having your own.
Yeah, home. Well, that only happened, you know, when the world saw actually what is happening over there. Yeah, just when when the killing, the number of the killings increased, so the world saw what is happening. We had an American person who used to come very, very often and see what's happening. And actually, he saw the big massacre. So he called the world, like, you know, you have to stop this. It was basically, you know, not before, like, I don't know how the war spread before from Kosovo to outside the world. But we had only a few, maybe 2 years between 1997 to 1999 to spread the world and get the help. Because before we didn't have any help.
Yes.
And to be honest, it was Yugoslavia had a big name. We were, you know, part of greater Yugoslavia. So the news wouldn't go out from Yugoslavia. Whatever happened, it happened there. I never got out. So when I tried to explain to some of my friends, you know, like, you know what they've heard from the international news? And I said, no, it wasn't like that. You know, we've been this for a very long time. So right. We only had a chance, you know, to tell the war in 1997, something like that. Because at the time, myself, I was doing a journalism bit at home. And I know when the big crowds used to come from all over the world. And then that's how the world heard, you know, what had happened. And we got a big help. Yeah, we did.
And then, of course, you and others left Kosovo and you were transferred to Ireland in your group. So tell us about arriving in Baltinglass. Do you remember what it was like and how you felt about it?
Yeah, when NATO bombed Serbia, so basically we had to leave homes. We were forced to leave homes. And the reason, you know, to leave the homes to force us was you wanted NATO, you leave now. So many of people were killed by leaving at the time when they were leaving. It was a chaos. So my family, we got a chance to go to Macedonia where an international camp was set up for us. I think we stayed there for a month. It was a hell, I have to say. And then all the countries like Europe and all around the world, you know, you had to put a name, you know, where you want to go. So my family decided, not when we knew much about Ireland, when we said we'd go to Ireland. And at the time we had no phones to search, you know, house in Ireland. But we just decided to go to Ireland. So 22 of us came here, I mean, from my family. We weren't picked, like, you know, it was a decision. We'll go, and we put our names on the list, and they took us, brought to Ireland.
Right.
And when I remember, I'll never forget the day they won. Even though we were very tired, the Baltinglass people were all on the streets welcoming us. It was amazing.
Yeah, and what was day-to-day life then after that when you settled in? I mean, you're here 21 years, so the first few years of settling in. Did you make new friends and what did you get
up to? We did. The first, it was like, you know, just we're safe now. It didn't really matter much. But then, you know, day after day, we had so many visitors from Irish community, like, not just locals. I remember people from other places coming, like, you know, Carlow, Dublin, just to see those refugees. So it was, we were kind of surprised what kind of people, because we used to live with a nation that didn't love us. So it was something amazing. And still, I have to say, like 21 years in Ireland, I'm just thrilled with Irish people. They're really nice neighbors, you know. It's a fantastic community involved in that. Then we've got an offer actually from Quince of Baltinglass for
That's
all
right.
of us to get a job. Yeah. And there were maybe six or seven of us who were in Quince. I was in the main office. My brother was in at the mill. My cousins, my uncle, everyone. We were offered, like, you know, do you want to work? What you know the best? So, yeah. And some still working in Quince.
Still to this day, fantastic.
Yeah, so my brother and my first cousin, they're still in Quince. Like 21 years working for Quince.
And what about yourself now? What do you do?
What's
your life like now?
My husband and I are kind of running a takeaway. But at the beginning when I came, I worked in Quince and I did a course in journalism. Then I did course after course. I worked a few places. And again, I did a few courses recently, which is the Academy of Aviation. And hoping to start a job, but now with this situation with COVID-19, it's impossible. But looking forward to when things settle. I mean, I have two children.
Oh, good, yeah.
18 and 15, yeah.
18 and 15, yeah. And they play sport?
Nita, my daughter, she's a model. She won Top Model Ireland. She represented both countries, Ireland and Kosovo, in the Top Model Worldwide in London.
Did she? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, now she's part of London Fashion Week. She's kind of a member. That she can go and walk every time that the London Fashion Week is. So, she's doing very well, actually.
Yeah, now she takes after her mammy then, does she?
The leaving cert, sorry?
Yeah, she takes after her mammy.
Well, yeah, she's doing her best, but she's a little bit now this time, you know, with leaving certs cancelled, and the grades had to be predicted. She did accept it for BLC in Rathmines in Dublin. She wants to do law because she said that she was inspired by me telling my life, and she said, "Mom, I'd like to be a lawyer so I can help people."
You said you got married, so was that to somebody from Ireland?
I got married. My husband was in Switzerland at the time, because we didn't have time to organize things. I remember the day that the army came at our house, and they were shooting on the roofs, you know, just scaring us. And we didn't pack or we didn't do anything. We just left like that. And we didn't know where we were going. It was a big line of people, you know, queuing. I'm thinking where to go. They were just kicking us. Go to Albania. That's where you belong, like, you know, stuff like that. So it wasn't anything, like, you know, organized. We just left it like that.
So you sound like, you know, obviously COVID-19 is a small battle compared to the battle you had from childhood.
I would be afraid to say so, but yeah. Yeah, I was just saying to my neighbours, you know, I'm not panicking. I know what I've gone through. Like, you know, having the bullets over your head, it's not easy. Like, you know, the governments are telling us to stay inside. So that's what we're doing. But in my time, like, you know, there's no stay in, so stay safe. It was all, you know, this army scaring us and telling us to go to Albania or will kill us, grabbing, you know, whatever you've had. You know, they used to stop us, and ask if you have any gold, if you have any money, stuff like that. It was very scary, but we managed to leave when we arrived in Macedonia. We felt safe. So that's why I'm telling my neighbors now, you know, I'm not panicking. I'm
just
staying home, doing what I'm told, and that's it.
Yeah, this is a doddle compared to then. So have you been back to Kosovo?
Yeah, I will go every year. I mean, between kids, you know, being born here, you know, sometimes I'll forget where I belong. And, like, you know, kids want to go, they take Kosovo as a holiday, and it must happen. Like, you know, it must happen every year. But then once certain times go, you know, they want to go back home, like, you know, they call home. So this year, like, we are not able to go. And I was thinking, you know, they will panic. But actually, no, like my daughter said, "Mom, listen, if you can go, if everything goes fine, you'll go. I have no time. I have to go to college and stuff like that." So which means, like, they like to go over there, you know, sometimes, but this is home.
Yes.
I remember my son, he was, I think, 6 or 7. We were in Kosovo, and it was very windy, and it was rainy, and he was just so scared. He said, "Mom, I can't wait to go to Bosnia to see those church beside the this tree beside the church." And he was describing Bosnia, you know, that's how he was missing. Like, and they call home here. So
yeah, but they won't. They'll as they get older, I'm sure they'll, you know, remember their heritage as well, and it'll be
they do. No, they're very good. Like, you know, they remember everything. They've learned the English, the Albanian language, you know, very well. Actually, they were able to write and speak. So there's no problem for that. But, you know, even me after 21 years, I don't really know which one is my home. Like, you know, here, when I'm at my home, when I go there, it kind of the memories trick me. Like, you know, you're from here. It's very hard for my generation. Like, I didn't come as a child here. I was an adult when I came here. And it's a big difference. But for my kids, they were born in Ireland. This is their home.
Yeah. Well, the best of luck with your daughter, especially with her modelling career and all that's going on with the Leaving Cert. And listen, in Kosovo, I mean, in that part of the world, people are familiar with maybe going to Croatia or Montenegro after terrible war in the 90s. Is Kosovo, has recovered fully from all that time?
I have to say that it kind of has. Just going on the visit in Kosovo, the they rebuild very fast, I think, but we've got a great help by internationals, like all the countries. Ireland gave a few times help, like, you know, not maybe, well, kind of financially, you know, some donated some whatever they could. But to be honest, it's really very well. Well, we have a problem now in Kosovo, it's corruption.
Yeah.
Like, Balkan is made for corruption, I think, in general. In Croatia, it's the same. Serbia is the worst, to be honest.
Yes, well, I don't know, but I'll take your word for it.
No, I know, I'm like, you know, even though I'm 21 years in here, I spent a good love, a few years in Kosovo. Like, it is, like, the corruption, it's made for Balkans, you know. We have Macedonia, Albania, Kosovo, and they always fight. They always fight for peace of land. Like Kosovo, it's centered. Serbia wants a bit of that. Problem with Greece, problem with that. I think there's nothing... The main problem is corruption.
Marisa, I'm glad you made it to Baltic Glass to contribute to life in Baltic Glass and to give us new citizens as well in County Wicklow, and look after yourself during this. And thanks for coming on. That was a lovely chat this morning. Best of luck to you and the family.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Marisa. Good morning to you.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And for those of you who might remember, it was 21 years ago anyway. And actually, I forgot to say to Marisa regards to Adam. Adam was mainly the guy, I think he had the most English of all the 22. We used to talk to him quite a lot. And he was working in the bar in Quinn's of Baltic Glass at the time. Anyway, that was 21 years ago. And happy 21st anniversary to all our people who have a connection with Kosovo. It's the Morning Show at East Coast.